Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Let's lift our hands up and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Glorify you, Lord. Thank you that you're doing a good work. Father, we thank you that you have made abundant provision for us. Father God, we thank you that every need can be supplied, every sickness removed. Father, we thank you that you're the miracle worker tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you're doing a mighty work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, tonight we want to let you know we believe. Let's say it together. We believe. We believe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, tell somebody you believe and you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you here tonight. Glory to God. And so turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We want to take a look at something in the life that happened in the life of Jesus. And we want to just look at this real quickly and see some truths in this. And my goal tonight is to help you believe. Amen. So that when you leave tonight, your believing ought to be a higher level than it was when you came. Isn't that right? And so we thank God for that. Testing 1, 2. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And we'll read down through verse 6 in the New King James Version. It says, "Then he went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and not his sisters here with us?' And so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching.'" Here Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth and in Galilee, and Jesus began preaching here in the synagogue here in his hometown. How many of you have ever gone back to your hometown and they were not standing at the edge of town waving at you? They didn't roll out the red carpet. Matter of fact, it seemed like nobody took notice that you came back home. Anybody ever been there? And sometimes it happens that way. I said, sometimes it happens that way. And so here, Jesus, let me just tell you what was happening in Jesus' life. This was not just the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but this is Jesus had been moving around Galilee in Mark chapter 1, verses 40. We see that Jesus healed a leper. And then later on in chapter 2, we see that at Capernaum, which was also in Galilee, which all of this is north of Jerusalem, quite a ways, and so he healed a paralytic man. Remember the story of the man that was paralyzed, laying on a pallet, and four crazy friends took him and opened a hole in the roof, and they dropped him down through there, and Jesus healed him. Well, that happened there in Capernaum. And then also in Capernaum, Jesus goes to a synagogue, and there's a man there. His hand is all withered up, and he heals the man on the Sabbath day. That upset them because they upset them. It says they got mad at him because he healed on the Sabbath day. I suspect that they were upset with him because he was doing something that they could have done even under the old covenant. If they'd have recognized their old covenant rights, healing was in the old covenant. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, And then right after that, he went out down to the Sea of Galilee. He went down to the Sea of Galilee, and it says there in Mark chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says he healed many and cast devils out of people. Demons left. And then there, at the, then he said, when he got done with that, he said, let us go to the other side. Remember that story? And the boat got caught. The disciples got caught in the middle of the storm, out in the middle of the sea. And he spoke to the storm and he calmed the sea and they went over to the other side. Guess what happened? There, a demon-possessed man met him. And so Jesus cast the devil out of him. And then set him free. And when he turned, when they left, that man went around all that area over on that other side, over the area of Decapolis. And he started publishing and telling everybody how what Jesus had done for him and everything. Jesus went back to Galilee. And there in Mark chapter 5, we read about the woman with the issue of blood where she was healed. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. Jesus was there in the crowd and there in Galilee. And it says that she touched his garment and she was healed. Glory to God. Not only that, but right there in the middle of that, she actually had interrupted Jesus going to Jairus' house. And his daughter was very near death, very seriously sick. And so when he got done dealing with the woman with the issue of blood, he went on over to Jairus' house. By that time, the daughter had died, and so he raised her from the dead. Glory to God. Jesus, you know, actually, if you look over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says that Jesus went out of bounds, Galilee. It says he was preaching, teaching, and healing the sick. All around there. Now, Mark chapter 6, where I just read. All of this is happening. And now he comes to his hometown, Nazareth. All around, he's been having miracles, signs, and wonders. People are marveling at the teaching that he does, and he's speaking with authority, and he's calming the storm and doing all kinds of things. And he comes to his hometown. And you'd think, they said, this is the guy we heard about. We better, hey, let's put a sign out there at the edge of town. Hometown of Jesus. They should have done that, shouldn't they have? You know, all those towns, you ever go through towns and it says hometown of, you know, and things like that. They should have done that, shouldn't they? But you know what they did? He went in the synagogue, started teaching teaching in the synagogue, and they were astonished. And the word actually astonished is really not exactly sufficient for what the way they were looking at him. They were astonished, but it was even more than that. I can't believe what I'm hearing. That's Jesus. I know him. He was. I remember when he fixed my porch. He's a carpenter. He's a carpenter's son. They trained him to be a carpenter. He remodeled another one. Said, "Yeah, he helped remodel our kitchen." Do you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, they started to look at him and they said, yeah, I know their family. I've known their family all their life. He's the brother of James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And, you know. And his sisters are here too. We know the family. Hey, why is he doing all that stuff? Why is he saying all that stuff? What rights he got to do that? And it says they got offended at him. They got offended at him. Instead of believing in him, they got offended at him. And it says the word offend right there means to be entrapped. It means to be entrapped. It means literally they tripped up on the fact that they knew who he was as a child. Literally what happened. You know what I'm saying? You ever met somebody? Do you ever know somebody in the community? Maybe it was your family. I don't know. But when that family came around, it was low expectations of what they could do. Now, I agree. Some people give you a good reason for that. But on the other hand, you know what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. But Jesus did not give them good reason to do that. He actually gave them every reason to believe. Because he taught the word. He said he was anointed by the Spirit. He went around doing miracles, signs, and wonders.
My goodness. Give them every reason to believe. Every reason to believe. There's no reason to doubt. And he says, you know, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19, in his own home, he had made the announcement at the beginning of his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You know what I'm saying? And he had announced that he was the anointed one. He had announced that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior that had come, that they had been looking for, the Redeemer of Israel. Now listen to this. But they said, no, this is we know who this is. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the carpenter's son. And I want to tell you something. They began to question Jesus' identity. And it says there that therefore Jesus could do no mighty work there. He could not. Even if he wanted to. Evidently he tried because he healed a few sick people that actually in some translations gives the idea they had minor ailments. Maybe a few headaches. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you got a bad headache, then I'm not making light of that. But you understand. You know, maybe he healed a hangnail or something. You know, of course, if you got a hangnail and it's bothering you, you know, it's not minor, you know. But anyway, it's not life-threatening. And so you have that. And it says there that he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. The word unbelief is a word that means faithlessness. They expressed no faith in him whatsoever. No faith. They were in disbelief. They ended up in disobedience because of their not believing. But you see, here's the thing. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. I thought about the title for my message tonight. I thought about the title of my message, telling you the title of the message is, Don't Make Jesus Marvel at Your Unbelief. But I changed it a little bit and I said, don't doubt what Jesus can do for you. I said, don't doubt what Jesus can do for you. Say it with me. Don't doubt what Jesus can do for you. Amen. And so here's the thing. Here's what led the people to be in unbelief. It's because they misidentified him. They did not identify Jesus properly. They did not see him for who he really was, and therefore it caused them not to believe, and it caused them to refuse to receive what he could do. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we need to recognize that. They only recognized him in the natural. And friend, When you look at someone and you only see them in the natural, let me tell you something. You're not really seeing the real you.
That's right.
You're not recognizing their full potential. You understand what I mean by that? Listen to me. The real you is on the inside. The spirit man. Paul said it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Well, verse 16, somebody tell me what verse 16 says. Well, it actually tells him, Paul purposed in his heart not to know any man after the flesh. In other words, he purposed not to know anyone in the natural, just in the natural. I mean, I might recognize you as so-and-so, you know, and you have that name that's been given to you by your parents, but you know, that's really not the real you. Do you know what I'm saying? And so people can miss out on what happened, what God has for them, if they don't properly identify Jesus and or the people that God is using. Don't get quiet on me right there. I felt that. Amen. You start looking at somebody and you start looking at them in the natural. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. And you say, well, I don't know about that. And I don't know. And why does he do this? And why does she do that? And listen to me. You're just right there. You're in the natural. Just mark it down. I'm in the natural. I need to get over in the spirit. Need to get over in the spirit. Start looking at what God said they are. Isn't that right? I need to look at Jeremy right here on the front row. I need to look at him the way God says he is. He's a new creation in Christ. Amen? He's bought by the blood. He's washed in the blood. He's cleansed from all sin. He's the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. He has no condemnation whatsoever because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we need to look at people the right way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen to me. If somebody's received Christ, you need to look at them not just as soul. Well, they're so and so. No, that's a believer. That's one who believes. That's one who believes in what Jesus can do. Amen. I think sometimes we need to get a fresh look at what Jesus can really do. Listen to me. Jesus can do a lot of things when somebody recognizes him for who he is and believes in what he can do. Amen. Actually, if you study the woman with the issue of blood and some of the other incidents, the only limit of what Jesus can do in your life is the faith that you express in him. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. So Jesus actually had both a natural and a spiritual identity, didn't he? Isn't that right? He was actually in the natural. He was Mary, the son of Mary. Isn't that right? He had brothers. He had sisters. Isn't that right? He was actually the carpenter's, as far as everybody is supposed, the carpenter's son. He actually was a carpenter growing up. It's absolutely true, isn't it? As far as it goes. But it's not the whole picture. Because you see, spiritually, his spiritual identity is this. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the hope of Israel. He's the Redeemer of mankind. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Shepherd of our souls. Glory to God. He's the great Deliverer. He's the Healer of mankind. He's the Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Isn't that right? So we got to learn to look at him the right way. Amen. Spiritually, look at him and say, okay, I'm not looking at Jesus. I'm not just going to look at a historical Jesus and just, it's interesting to see where he traveled and everything, and that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. If that's all you do, is look at the history of the fact that he walked in Israel and all of that, however wonderful that is, if that's all you see in Jesus, then you're really not seeing everything. You know what I'm saying? And if you get caught up in the genealogy, which it's listed there in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, the genealogy of Jesus is listed there. If that's all you get caught up in, it's not the whole picture, is it? Listen to me. If I knew your lineage clear back to Adam, I could say Adam, but Noah would even be even closer because you know everybody died except him and his family, so we all meet at Noah's family, you know. Isn't that right? I mean, I can trace my family on my dad's side clear back to Switzerland. Amen. And so what we have, so I could tell you, I could give you the names. I just thought it was fascinating. It's as far as it went. And so you could say, you could look at me and say, well, you know, I know his dad. I know his dad. You know, some of you have even been with me and went to my dad's place. And you could say, well, you know, that's my dad's name is Ben. And so that's just Ben's son, Marvin. What's he doing standing? I know him. He grew up Amish. What's he doing standing here at Rhema Bible Church attempting to preach tonight? What has he got to offer? Why is he talking like that? What makes him think he's got something? Do you see what I'm saying? See how people look at people in the natural? Let me tell you something. Listen to me. We're not called. We're not instructed to look at people just in the natural. Because you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the supply that your brother and your sister can bring in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just preachers. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I know, like Brother Bill says, you can't get too many amens on this one. Listen to this. You may know your natural identity, but you have to look to your spiritual identity to find the real you. See, every day, you know, that you've been called by your natural, identified by your natural identity for years, since birth. That's why you don't doubt it. I am Ben's son. No doubt about it. My mom's name's Elizabeth. Grandpa and grandma on my dad's side was Ezra and Jemima. You know, great-grandfathers were Joseph J. Yoder. You know, I can trace it on back. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. If that's what you think I am, then you've seen a small part of me. If all I think about you is you and your lineage and where you came from, let me tell you something. I'm only seeing a small part of you. I'm not recognizing what you could really do. You said, well, you know, I know so-and-so family, and they've never done this. They've never done that. I don't expect any of that family to ever do that, to ever go to college or whatever it might be. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. That's in the natural. That's in the natural. I said, that's in the natural. All it takes is one person to believe in who they really are, to step far beyond their natural identity and to go further than what their rest of their family ever did.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that right? Come on now. You see, there's a natural identity. There's a spiritual identity. So listen to this. Correctly identifying Jesus enables us to know what he can do for us. Because if you identify him correctly, because you see, everything he did was because of who he was. Do you see what I'm saying? He saves people. People can be saved because he's the Savior. Jesus didn't sit there and think, now, how can I save him? What methods can I use to save him? I need to come up. Do you know what I'm saying? He's not doing something outside of who he is. Did you ever notice in the Gospels that Jesus never struggled when somebody came up to him with a need? Isn't that amazing? If somebody said they needed healing and they wanted it, they got it. He didn't say, would you come back in 2 weeks? I need the time to fast and pray. He didn't look at any demon-possessed person and say, you know, I'm gonna, he didn't look at the relative and say, look, bring him back in a week. I'll be prayed up by then. I'm a little overworked right now. Can you see I've been dealing with a big crowd? Just not in the best spiritual shape right now. Jesus never did those things, did he? He just always, I mean, it just flowed out of him, didn't he?
Yes.
Isn't that right? Why? Because you see, he knew who he was. He knew he was the deliverer. Deliverance is not a problem to someone that knows they're the deliverer. He was anointed, therefore it's not a problem to bring forth an anointed word. Amen. He's a healer. Therefore, he heals. Healing flows out of him. Malachi said healing comes out of him like beams of light. Isn't that something? Ooh, glory to God. Isn't that something? He provides because he's the provider. He protects because he's the protector. Come on now. He's a redeemer. Therefore, he redeems. Isn't that something? It's who he is. You could go on and on. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus is our peace. Therefore, he gives peace. He doesn't look around and say, where did I put that peace? I need to give somebody some peace. Do you ever have somebody ask you for something? And you say, I got it around here somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Jesus doesn't do that. He gives a who he is. He gives you peace because he is peace. Bible says the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart, like Pastor talked about Wednesday night. Where did that look? How did that become possible? Jesus is love personified. Love flows out of him. He doesn't think in this. Now, today, I really got to get down to business, and I got to love people. I got to make sure I love people. Jesus is not sitting up in heaven straining at taking care of humanity.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. Listen, you need to take another look at your problems and start saying, Jesus. You need to start taking a fresh look at Jesus, look at your problems in a new way. Jesus can take care of your problems. No problem. No problem for him. Amen. If you need healing, he can heal you. The issue is whether we believe that or not. The issue is whether we see him the way he is, truly is. You know, you listen to some preachers, some churches you go to, and they make it sound like God is mad at everybody. He can't afford anything. He wouldn't heal anybody. He wouldn't help too many people. Just maybe a few. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Guess what those kind of people get? Just what they believe. Just what they believe. It's all they get. Not much. When you don't believe much, you don't get much, right? But Jesus would like to help you. He'd like to help you with everything. Believe. Say with me, believe. And so we need to recognize that. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Don't make Jesus marvel at your unbelief. I remember years ago, I was pastoring the first church right after I graduated from Rhema. And this was a Methodist church 17 miles out in the country. And the farmer with the largest dairy farm in the county was in there. And he had did some serious mishandling of his finances. And he was in financial trouble. And they were threatening to foreclose on him, bankruptcy and all of that. And so I gave him a book by Demas Shakarian on the happiest people on earth. And he was a large dairy farmer out in California. And he was also the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen. So I gave him that book to read to encourage him. I'd given him scriptures. I'd gone to pray with him and all of that. I'm giving him every reason to believe. Hey. He looked at me. He said, I'm not a reader. When I handed him the book, I said, I think you'll like this one. I said, it'll take me a long time to get through a book that thick. I said, just go ahead and take it. I said, I'll remember where it's at. And a week later, he brought it back and he said, I read the book. I said, you did? That's great. That's exciting. I said, did you like it? Yeah, it was a good book. Then he shook his head. Made me wonder if I had any faith. He sounded just like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Just made me wonder if I had any faith. I marveled at his unbelief. So what happened? He lost the farm because he didn't believe. I mean, we even saw miracles happen on his behalf on something else that he let me pray and believe God for with him. He got an instant answer within a week. And it had been going, it was an ongoing problem in his dairy operation, had been for over a year. Got an instant answer. I mean, within a week. Then I said, well, if God can do that, I said, he can help you with the farm, can't he? Well, I don't know. I know what, Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Amen. And so we have to understand, don't ever give, Jesus has given you every reason to believe. Isn't that right? Yes, listen to this. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to the lunatic son's father, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Everybody say believe. Mark 11, 24, he says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Everybody say, believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents if they drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Everybody say, believe. Who does that happen to? Believers, those who believe. Amen. God has given us every reason to believe. He's given us the Word of God, the great and precious promises. He's even written them down for us so we can access them anytime. He's put the Spirit of God on the inside, the greater one on the inside, who prompts us to believe. He's given us the name that's above every name. He's washed us by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Changed our identity. Glory to God. I'm a new creation in Christ now. Old things are passed away. Years ago, growing up, Leah's aunt and uncle lived close to where we lived. And then they moved away. And multiple decades later, we met them, saw them someplace. Do you know what her first words were to me? Marvin, you were a naughty little boy. And I'm thinking to myself, but I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm washed by the blood. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I may have been what you said I was, but I'm not that anymore. I once was a doubter, but now I'm a believer. Amen. Amen. Don't doubt what Jesus can do for you. Believe. You say, I don't see any reason to believe. Our believing is not based on reason. Our believing is based on the Bible. And sometimes, like Abraham, he said, the King James says, he hoped against hope. And well, listen to me. Actually, it really, really gives the idea. He hoped when there was no hope in the natural. When everything in the natural looked like you ought to give up and just quit and go on and do something else, he kept believing. Come on now. Let's keep believing. Say it with me. Believe. Stand up on your feet if you would. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Who do you think Jesus is? Another question. Who do you think you are? See, if you don't identify Jesus correctly, let me tell you something. You can say, oh yeah, Jesus is all of that. But if you don't see yourself correctly as a believer, as a new creation in Christ, as the righteousness of God, as an heir to the promises of God, an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You can acknowledge all that Jesus is, and you can still stand off to the side. Yeah, but I just don't think it's for me. And you can have an Eeyore complex if you want to. But I want to tell you something. No need to. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I can believe. Hallelujah. So I don't know if I feel that way, but just say it in faith. Start believing you can. I can believe. Say it with me. I can believe. I know the word. I know some scriptures, so I know I can believe some. Isn't that right? Let's say it this way. I know I'm saved. Therefore, I know I have to believe to get saved. So I know I can believe some. Isn't that right? I got some faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I got some faith. I can believe. I'm not a doubter. I'm not a pouter. I'm not a groaner. I'm not a moaner. I am a believer. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Thank God. Thank God that He is who He says He is. We are who God says we are, and we can believe, and we can receive. It might be salvation. It might be healing. It might be deliverance. It might be protection. It might be peace in our hearts. It might be freedom from fear. It might be provision. It might need to get some bills paid. I'm telling you right now, God is able to take care of you. Amen. I said, God is able to take care of you. The question is, can you believe? And the answer is, yes, you can, because you got some scripture. You know some scripture. How many of you know this scripture? All things are possible to him that believes. How many of you know that one? How many of you knew that was in the Bible? See, you can believe. Amen. See, the devil's been lying to some of you. Well, you just, and you almost had an Eeyore complex out of this whole thing. Let me tell you something. You need to get rid of that. Shrug it off. Shake it off. Come on now. Come on now. Some of you, you've been living in fear on some thing. You need to shake it off. So I'm a believer. I'm not afraid. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's time to quit. According to the clock. But according to some of your faces, it's not time to quit yet. Some of you look like I need to work on you a little bit. It's all right. Took multiple sessions to get me where I'm at. How about you? Isn't that right? Doesn't all happen overnight, does it? Isn't that right? Father, we thank you that we can believe. We thank you that you're doing a mighty work. We are believers. We thank you for healing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for love. We thank you, Father, for provision. We thank you for being kept safe and protected in all situations in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'll take your seats, we'll get ready to receive our second offering tonight. And we want asking you, pastor's birthday is a week from tomorrow. And so we want to give him something on Sunday. And we're quite a ways from what we normally give him that arrange. And so we're asking you to do your best gift tonight. And just to help out, let's honor him. My wife asked me a while ago, what do you want to do? And I doubled my amount from what we normally would. And so I'm not asking you to do something that I didn't do. I've doubled my amount. You said had you given anything? Oh yeah, I'd already given everything that I intended to give. But I doubled that amount and give it again. Amen. Why? I'm honoring him. He's our pastor. Let me tell you something. That man is an anointed man of God. Let me tell you something. You know him. I don't really have to tell you everything about him, but I will tell you this. That man knows more about the Bible than most people have ever dreamed of. And it's not, you say, well, what do you mean? Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about what's up in his head. I'm talking about what's in his heart. I'm talking about the scriptures down in his heart. His ability to believe. His ability to hook up and get a hold of something from God when we need it. And he's got that. You say, well, I, he doesn't go into big, long histories and give, you know, wow people with a lot of information. No, listen to me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having heart faith. Too many people are easily moved by what facts and figures that people throw out there. Let me tell you something. Facts and figures is not what's going to change your life. It's what you believe in your heart. It's the word that you believe in your heart. That's what I'm talking about on Pastor Hagin, Mrs. Hagin. Come on now. So we're going to honor them. Let's get ready to receive our offering tonight. And Father, we just thank you right now that you're doing a mighty work in each one's life, that as we honor you, as we honor our pastor, Father, we thank you that you do a great work in the lives of these people as well. Father, we thank you that you have looked upon us with kindness. You've looked upon us with pleasure. You have looked upon us with great love. Now, Father, we thank you
that out of what you have given to us, we are able to bless our pastor. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, ushers, if you would serve the people, God bless you for giving. If you want to text a gift, you can do it Hagen and space and then the amount, and you can send that to 28950 as well. God bless you. We have the prayer team coming down, and I want to encourage you this week. I can almost tell you this. If God wants you to believe the scriptures, then I can tell you this. I'm not being negative. I'm just telling you, you have the opportunity to believe. But I believe it's a great privilege to live by faith. It's a great privilege to believe the promises of God. Isn't that right? And so we want to encourage you to believe. If you've got a need tonight, you want prayer tonight, then we've got the guys over here on this side that'll pray with you. If you're a guy, and we got ladies over here on this side that'll pray with you. If you're a lady, and so we got people that'll believe with you. You say, I don't know. I want to believe, but I just don't know if my what I believe is sufficient. Well, hook up with one of these people that believe. They'll add their faith to yours, and you'll get what you need. And I believe God will bring answers to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're waiting just a moment to before we dismiss. We've still got some people doing some offerings. We're not trying to rush anybody. If you want to take a moment and write a bigger number, that's okay. Okay? That's all right. Amen. How many of you are going to promise me that you're going to stay far away from Eeyore? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We all good? Everybody got everything clear? Father, bless these people. Thank you, Father, that you can help them in every way. Move mightily in their life. Help them to have a great week. Father, we thank you that they have the name of Jesus. They're washed in the blood. They're part of the body. They have the greater one on the inside. They have angels camped around about them. Father, you're their rear guard. You go ahead of them and make crooked places straight and rough places smooth. You open the way that no man can shut. We thank you, Father God. You've made them the victor and not the victim. You've helped them to triumph over every trouble. And we thank you that they're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you for coming. Be sure to come Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And it'll be a great service as well. And by the way, keep the Hagens, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and the team up in prayer. Keep them in prayer this week. Doing a double crusade with St. Cloud, Minnesota, I believe it is. And then in Granger, Indiana, later in the week. Let's believe God for mighty things. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.